What's up, everyone? This is Press X to Start Podcast, Season 5, Episode 23. We are here at Press X to seek to transform the video game media landscape through an underserved and protective point of view. Restorative justice for the underrepresented programmers, developers, and consumers. I am your host, DJ, a.k.a. Sexy Bad Droid, a.k.a. Did you know babies can be a pain sometimes, but you love them because they're made that way and your brain tricks you to loving them?
Yes.
Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah, yeah. Still working on that.
Terrible, did you know? I am Sean MF Ross.
What the MF stand for?
Did you know that DJ had a terrible, did you know?
The M and F are silent?
Yes.
Who else is here? Avery, go ahead.
Okay, cool beans. I am Avery Williams. As I said before, I'm just trying to get away with it. Probably not, but still working on it. Here's hoping.
You're going to have a ramble about that.
Oh, I can show you the deep down well where I went down where I realized, oh, this might be my favorite thing on Twitch right now. This is my favorite meme on Twitch.
Ooh, that could be AKA. That could be a thing.
Oh, it's gonna get immediately ruined when people actually learn what the meme is. Because it's like, oh, you're definitely never going to get away with it. Look at you.
Last up.
Jordan, a.k.a. formerly the Dragon of Dojima Clan, but now the Dragon of Kazuma Clan. Changes in the universe.
Did you betray them? What's going on?
Oh, man, it's messy. And maybe the last Psychonaut? I don't know. I'm playing that too, but
okay,
get that out of here. I'm loving it, though.
With that being said, and us being introduced, now it is... Oh, wait, actually, before we do anything, we are going to do some housekeeping, because that is important. As I said at the last podcast, I'm going to say it again in this podcast, don't forget to join us as we are donating to the Palestine Charity Drive. You can go to PressX2Start.com/Palestine to donate. So please do that. Every little bit counts, as I say all the time at the end of every show. So, you know, help out. The other thing you can do for us is check out our Ratchet and Clank A Rift Apart review. It is both in video and audio formats. The audio, of course, you'll just get it just like how you get this podcast with the video. You're going to have to actually go to our YouTube page at PressX2Start.com/YouTube and like, subscribe, share, and, you know, comment if you feel like leaving a comment. That'd be great. So, with the housekeeping being done and the house kept, let's talk about what we have been playing. Avery, what have you been playing?
Okay, so after my last couple of paltry weeks of pretty much doing nothing, I tried to get back to the video game grind and play some games again. So, first things up, I finished Bugsnax. That's a game that has an ending. And all seriously, I think it's a really cool indie game, and I'm glad PlayStation jumped on it, but it's one of those games where, like, I got to the end, and I'm like, wow, this is not where I expected this to go at all. This is bizarre.
I watched the ending of that game, and out of context, I was like, what the fuck is happening? I don't understand any of this. I don't...
The ending makes sense, and, like, it works, but just, like, did not expect this game to go this way. But I spent most of my time this week with two games. One was Valorant, because they released a new patch, and I was just trying to see if I had gotten any better. Didn't get any better, so I'm just going to say that they've made the game, if you're good at mouse and key, and, like, you've got that fucking, you've got those reflexes, the game is much better for you. But if
my man spent thousands of dollars to see himself suck in 4K, 60 frames a second.
It's all right. Balance cool.
Word ain't never looked better.
But all seriously, the game I spent the most time with this week is Guilty Gear Strive. I'm playing on the PC because I don't want trophies for this game, because I'm not going to get trophies for this game.
So wait. You're playing... What controller? You using a PlayStation 5 controller?
Yeah.
I'm
using my PS5 controller.
Okay. So wait, is that on Steam? Yeah. I'm so confused.
It's on Steam.
Okay. How you doing it? How you liking it?
It's a fighting game. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not the right person to give you, like, the blowdown on a fighting game, because, like, the reason I'm into Guilty Gear is not the fighting. Like, fundamentally, this from what I can tell from the greater fighting games community's hot takes on this game is that they've made it a more casual game. Yeah. They've made it a lot more easier for people to pick up and play and enjoy. And I think that's ultimately for any good fighting game, that's what you need. You need people to be able to jump in, play, enjoy their time with, while at the same time having a depth so that a person who's only going to play this game for 2 years is going to be able to like master it in a noticeable way. Mm-hmm. But I spent most of my time watching the single player mode of this game because I was super interested in, I was going to get a Mortal Kombat-esque, okay, here's the story we're going to tell, and every once in a while we're going to break up this story with fights with different characters so you get used to the cast. No, what I got was a 4-hour poorly animated movie.
It's poorly animated? Like,
Here's the thing. The art for Guilty Gear Strive has gotten so much better.
Yeah, definitely.
But based on what I watched in this movie, it's very apparent that the animation team who makes the game are the one who made the movie.
Is or is not?
Is the one who made the movie.
Oh, okay.
So, like, when you get a close-up of the characters and you get to see their finer details, it looks just like a really cool 3D anime. But when any character has to walk, they're gliding across the screen with weird walking animations because they're using the in-game models and the in-game animation tech. Yeah. So, like, you're not really walking, really. And then, if you're not a hardcore Guilty Gear fan, this story is fucking dog shit. Like, it is the end of the main character of Guilty Gear Soul Bad Guy story, so it's taking shit from, like, the original Guilty Gear that no one really remembers that was just called Guilty Gear and finally coming to fruition with that. And that part is really cool.
Yeah.
It's one of those, like, because the game is fun. I enjoy the game. But the single player is so disappointing.
Yeah.
Like, it's Soul Bad Guy and the President of the United States just running around the White House, which is apparently flying in the sky at this point, and just from a terrorist attack. So, it's like, and you spend, like, 3 hours of narrative of just those two running around the White House.
Interesting. I mean, sounds like it makes sense to me.
It's so dumb. But, like, ignoring just the creative, the actual writing of the story mode, the way it ties up Soul Bad Guy story and like ties up the loose ends of Guilty Gear, I think is really cool, and I'm interested to see where they go from here, because here's a spoiler for Guilty Gear. Soul Bad Guy is a robot man who's part dragon, and the end of this game ends with him just being a normal guy. So I don't know where Guilty Gear goes from there.
Does he make a wish or something?
Okay, here's more spoilers for Guilty Gear. The quote-unquote main villain of Guilty Gear was always a character called That Man, and this is the first game to explain why they call him That Man. Who that boy? Who him is? Him that nigga, I swear. And they call him That Man because no one's been able to pinpoint who was the problem in the Guilty Gear universe, and there were two people, so whenever they were just referring to whoever caused the problem, it was just That Man. And this is a game where both versions of That Man confront each other and finally fight.
No, I'm the man. You're That Man.
And the one who's quote-unquote good, he uses magic and fixes soul, so soul's human now.
Okay, yeah, that sounds like a fighting game story to me.
It's both batshit and totally mundane.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, one of the characters, like, this, I wish Marcus was here, because Marcus is the only person who'd get the context for this. This is what I'm about to say. Is that there was a character called Axel Lowe, who's just this random British guy, who used a Kurosagama, and, like, he had fire powers, and he was just a random British guy. And, like, they kept talking about how he used from the past, and the big thing about his character was he somehow time-traveled to the future of Guilty Gear. He doesn't know how, he's always been trying to figure out how to get back. The last Guilty Gear game revealed that he's not human, and he's just, like, the personified version of humanity's hopes and dreams or some bullshit like that.
Alright.
It's a whole thing. Like, it's batshit, dude. It's batshit.
So what else games you've been playing?
I mean, that was pretty much it. I also finally sitting down with Final Fantasy VII Intergrade, where I've had it for about 2 weeks now. I played like 30 minutes of it, got through, I think, what was the sort of tutorial area of the game where you got used to Yuffie and got to the Midgar section, and I just got sucked into Fort Condor, which is the minigame they built to get rid of a part of the actual main Final Fantasy VII story.
What is Fort Condor?
It's a board game minigame within Final Fantasy VII integrated. But from what I can remember, because I never finished Final Fantasy VII, it was an entire section of Final Fantasy VII's story. And from what I'm guessing, they've turned it into a minigame so they don't have to actually do that as part of the remake.
Oh, interesting. Can you just jump straight to the Yuffie content? Yeah. I don't feel like playing the whole
thing. Yeah, you can just jump straight to it. It's a separate... Like, you once you jump into the Final Fantasy VII remake starting screen, it's like a tab over Yuffie.
Alright, I'll play it.
This Fort Condor thing looks like a polished, like, mobile game.
It's pretty much a... it's pretty much a MOBA.
Interesting. Okay, cool.
But it's a very simplified MOBA that's... I haven't played Auto Chess, but I think it's a lot like Auto Chess.
Okay. I don't know what Auto Chess is, but I know enough to know that it's not automatic chess.
It's a weird mod to MOBAs, which are a weird mod to RTSs, so it's a come full circle. But it's like the game, like you pick a bunch of units, you put them on a board, and the automatic, it's like chess, because it's a board and you're putting units on it. But it's automatic because I don't think you necessarily make any actions yourself. You just put your characters in the right move and their AI makes them fight against each other.
Gotcha.
And that's pretty much what Fort Condor is. But it's interesting. What's really interesting is to see parts of Final Fantasy VII from Yuffie's perspective at the time, because like the game takes place when your main character, like right before Sector 7 drops, like the plate drops.
Yeah.
So it's all these characters like Cloud, Tifa, Barret, Aerith are not there, but it's everyone else around them there, and you see what they were doing at the time. It's interesting. I'm enjoying it, but I ultimately don't think it's going to be narratively worth it unless they make some interesting changes to 7-2.
Okay. All right. Jordan, what you been playing?
Yakuza, man. Yakuza. All day, every day. Mm. I just got over to Yakuza Kiwami. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny because Zero was one of the last core Yakuzas to come out before End of the Dragon, which still had like the brawler style that we talked about in the past. And goddamn, does that game kill every motherfucker that was in Zero. I was surprised. I had no context about like the series itself.
Yeah.
But this is a prequel game where, you know, pretty established characters, like the actual like lead of the clan, Dojima clan, he gets killed in the first 5 minutes by another
main
character.
Wait, he gets killed in Kiwami?
Yeah, he's shot in the face.
Okay, so is Kiwami the like, is that like the like newest?
Or no. Not,
but like along,
which, like, what? See, sequence wise, yeah, this is how fucked up the whole thing is. So Yakuza 0 came out like after 6, Yakuza 6, but takes place way before Yakuza Kiwami.
Okay. Okay.
Assume.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, like I mean, characters are stronger, super buff. Like your friend, you know, Nishiki was like all scared and like a low level lieutenant. Now he's a fucking clan leader. He has his own family. The Nishiki clan. Like the dude had his hair slicked back too. Man, like that nigga upgraded hard, and he was killing people. But he wanted to kill you because you went to jail and got super big over there. He knew that once you came out, the clan would turn to Kiru, like to be the leader of the clan. They're like, Nishiki, you weren't shit. But the shit was bananas. I'm not gonna get into the story too much, so we don't got time for that shit. But basically, you have like this girl, this little fucking 9-year-old girl who's a daughter of this girl that Kiru really wanted to, you know, be with. And her mom knows where the money's at. And the money to, you know, if you have the money, you got the clan. And in the end of it, she threatened to blow herself up.
Okay.
I would have called her a bluff because her kid was right next to her. I was like, bullshit. Shoot this bitch right now. Shoot her. She's like, I'm going to kill myself. Like, no, you're not. Your kid's right there. You're a liar. But yeah, like, that shit was, it was like the last, like, 5 hours of that game was just fucking, like, the story was not as strong as Zero was. Zero had a way stronger story. And they turned one of my favorite characters into a joke, but I still love him though, because he's a you know, joker fucker. His name was Majima, who was like super stoic and, you know, like rugged. He's a total jackass. He lives to fight you. he became a zombie to fight you. It's all over the place. The game is just fucking wild, but I'm loving it. I beat that, and I'm now playing Yakuza Kiwami 2, which takes, like, it's, I'm not going to get into that game too much. I think.
You said zombie, right?
God. Yes.
Okay.
I think cool. So. I'm so happy to have been exposed to the Yakuza game series.
Yeah.
Because it is just, it is just amazing. But yeah, I'm playing Elite Dangerous also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, finally understanding the math behind how to jump between planets. Completed some of my first contracts without blowing up.
Congratulations.
I think the next step is me going bounty hunting. Fighting other people to hunt online. Well, not online. I'm playing solo. Fuck that. But, yeah, like, understanding the economies, the various factions. Kind of like the way Mech Assault 5 was. Mech Warrior 5 was. Like, understanding, you know, contracts and reputation and, you know, like, nuances. Like, how my ship is outfitted for certain missions. And with the surround system I got, man, that game, it just sounds amazing. Like the way the ship, the vibrations from the ship translating to like if you have a system that has a subwoofer, you know, mm-hmm. or has like able to translate amazing bass. These space sims are awesome, you know, in terms of how like the sound design around the spacecraft. But yeah, also I played Watch Dogs Legion. Not gonna say wouldn't recommend it. Probably recommend it now, seeing it's mad cheaper. Would not recommend it at $60 because that game was silly. There was an instance to which I was recruiting someone. While I was recruiting them, they killed themselves. I saw it in real time, so I'm like, "Well, check them off the list." Hope I find another spy to recruit. Like that's what, like the game was bold in terms of game design, but in terms of execution, just wasn't there. And the last. You know, act of that game was I was just trying to get through it. You know, if I'm doing that, then you know your game's falling apart in my eyes.
Right.
And last, I've been playing The Descenders, which is available via Game Pass. If you're familiar with extreme BMXing, downhill BMXing, like you see those YouTube, Facebook videos of them going like 50, 60, 70 miles per hour down a fucking cliff, like a bit, almost a cliff in terms of the angle of the mountainside or hillside. That's mm-hmm. basically what the Descenders is. It's fun playing with other people, you know, you get to race them down, but also you have your own challenges. You're able to do tricks and stuff. And yeah, it's a fun game. It has like techno Eurobeat playing in the background, you know, gets you pumped up.
And gotta have that.
You can design, you can, customize your bike and your board and everything, but yeah, that's what I've been playing. So we'll see how my my goal is to have at least up to Yakuza 6 done by the fall, at least by the fall, because those games are long as shit.
Yeah,
those games are long.
Jeez. All right. So wrapping up what we've been playing, Sean and I both play Ratchet and Clank. Well, actually, we all play Ratchet and Clank. We all did a review on Ratchet and Clank. But Sean, you don't really have any other games past that, right?
Nah, man. Q Whitney Houston.
I have nothing.
And then the only thing that I have to say really is Gundam, of course. But me and my wife will be starting It Takes Two. I downloaded that this past like Thursday, so we'll be doing that. We have two PS5 controllers, a black and white one, so cue Michael Jackson. With that being,
I mean I got the red and the black PS5 controller, if that matters, whatever.
you betrayed us, Sean. He was Jamaican until he got the controllers. Now he's Trinidadian.
Anyway, moving on.
Before we move on to the quick hits, we have a word from our sponsors. It's ourselves. It's our Press X to Start YouTube page. Make sure, again, you check out the Ratchet & Clank A Rift Apart review. We had a great time doing it. It was five of us. We had Metal Mouth Marcus on.
Tripping off the beat, kinda. Dripping off the meat grinder. Heat niner. Pimping, stripping, soft, sweet minor.
He's doing great. He's doing fantastic.
That's an awesome rap name, to be honest. Metal Mouth. Fuck
Metal Mouth Marcus.
Awesome.
MMM.
MF Doom.
With that being said, Press X to Start. Sponsor us, nigga. Yeah. Yeah, do that.
I didn't feel like you put enough oomph.
No,
I mean, I'm not.
Go ahead.
I don't know enough about podcast sponsorships, but I think they prefer you not to use any.
Call them, nigga.
Hey,
Avery,
I'm just saying,
don't come in here and switch that up. We've been using it for the past 2-3 years.
I mean,
all right?
I mean,
no wonder we have no sponsorship.
Avery, I'm just saying.
Avery might be on to something. All right, well,
we've been doing fine thus far. We're gonna be real like Deezus and Mero and RDC and shit. Sponsor us, nigga.
Hey everyone, have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure you keep getting the best laughs, latest news, most fire takes? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, tell 3 people about the podcast. Could be strangers, could be friends, could be loved ones, hated ones. Who cares? Every little bit helps. After you've done that, please follow us on Facebook at Press X, #2, start. At Instagram at Press X, #2, start. And Twitter, Press X, #2, S. And now, on our YouTube page at Press X to start TV. If you've done all these things, well done. You're a real one.
And we're back. Now it's time for the quick hits. DJ, take it away. Thanks, DJ. Number one, this comes from Forbes. Sony reluctantly brings Cyberpunk 2077 back to the PlayStation Store. So is it fixed? ?
No.
No, it's not.
I'm still running into Cyberpunk issues on my Xbox Series X. I'm playing that shit on their performance mode setting. Why? It's like there's more glitches now. I don't know what the fuck happened. When I played it the first time, there was not this much fuckery going on. I don't know. Maybe because it is.
Avery, did you play Cyberpunk?
Yeah, I played it on PC.
On the thing? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a fun time. I had no problems.
That is hilarious. Sony actually put a little note on their store for Cyberpunk, and it says, important notice, users continue to
experience... Bro, boy, stay away.
Exactly.
Users continue to experience performance issues with this game. Purchase for use on PlayStation 4 systems is not recommended. For the best Cyberpunk experience on PlayStation, play on PlayStation 4 Pro and PlayStation 5 systems.
Adjacent to this, Xbox just ended the refund policy for Cyberpunk. I think in July, it's like, all right, if you purchased it and you didn't notice this shit yet, don't be asking for your money back.
Yeah.
I mean, if they've been playing all their Game Pass games, maybe they weren't able to get to Cyberpunk yet. You know what I mean?
That is a possibility. You bring up a good point there, Sean. Thank you.
#2. This comes from Axios. The Sony PlayStation boss Jim Ryan moves past console wars is the title of this interview. So Axios interviewed Jim Ryan, and it's, you know, there's some nuggets in here where it's going to bring up the main meat of the story. The big picture is that Sony supplemented its splashy and largely successful November launch of the PS5 with news this spring that it plans to expand its key franchises into at least 10 new movies and shows. So we know... Last of Us, we know Tim Holland's in there.
Last of Us, yeah.
Yeah, and then we know Uncharted is also doing a thing.
And then we know about the Twisted Metal thing as well.
Twisted Metal, yeah. Is there a Ghost of Tsushima movie too?
Yes.
They thought about that also. Yeah, that's also in the books.
So, I mean, that's like, what? That's 4 out of the 10, so we might...
Ratchet and Clank technically was, I mean, it was a movie.
Yes.
That is true.
We got a great game out. Mm-hmm. Probably the best tie-in game of all time.
So if that is the goal, so when you're saying it's moving beyond console wars, because Xbox leadership also used that language.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing pathways of thought, you know, like there's other ways to expand out. Not trying to say that there isn't a precedent for Sony and multimedia. They're strong in multimedia.
Well, that's one of the key differences between Microsoft and Sony is that Microsoft is at its core a computer company. So then, while Sony, as its core, is a multimedia entertainment company, with games just being a facet of that. So, like,
when the biggest facet, though,
the biggest facet of it. So, it's free money to leverage the success of your games in other mediums. Like, there's like there was an argument conversation about how this is like a waste of resources and things like that. That was you. And then I had to gently point out that it's not so much a waste of resources as it's just much. I think the argument was that this isn't going to help games. And I also agree with that. Mm. I've watched the rise of comic book movies and know for a fact that that means jack shit for comic book sales.
Yeah, like, that was a good point you brought up.
The Avengers could sell, it could make $4 billion. And I bet your ass that the Avengers comic book will still only sell 100, maybe 50K in individual sales for individual issues. So it means absolutely nothing in the long run. But what it does mean is that it puts it increases the brand recognition of that content and allows for a better pollinization. Like, as much as the Avengers books aren't selling like hotcakes because of the Avengers movies, Avengers has become a bigger franchise for Marvel as a result of those movies. And they can do so much other things like that. If this is fundamentally Sony taking resources from games to make movies, then that's a bad call, and I agree with DJ's original assertion on this. But if this is Sony taking the resources that they already have to make movies, which they have a relatively thriving, being carried by their Spider-Man franchise movie slate, I can see nothing but interesting thing coming from this, especially in the wake of we just got a Sonic movie that was actually really good, and all reports say that Ubisoft's Werewolves Within movie is fucking fantastic. So it's not like we can't get good video game movies. We just haven't gotten over the hump of it being a consistent thing.
Wait, that's Ubisoft?
Yeah, that movie is an adaptation of a Ubisoft game with an adaptation of a game, which is like an adaptation of a just normal game that people play normally.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. I did not know that was a Ubisoft property. The other part,
because the VR game,
right? Yeah, the other part to this is Sony's also targeting an expansion to mobile as it joins other console gaming powerhouses in carving the bigger mobile market. It will have something to show there soon. Ryan teased.
I think you know Sony has requested access to Microsoft Azure cloud system in the past, like back in 2018.
I think it was less requesting access and more of a partnership between Microsoft and Sony proper, not the game services. So it wasn't Xbox, it wasn't PlayStation making this deal. It was Sony and Microsoft.
So the point I was trying to bring up was, if they are going to the mobile market, is it going to be a specific type of mobile that they're doing here? Because technically xCloud is a version of a mobile gaming service, to which you can access it on your phone. Regardless, the mobile market is fairly lucrative. I mean, even EA with their purchase of Warner Brothers, you know, mobile department shows that they expect a return on investment equal to and exceeding $1.4 billion over the course of the next couple of years. So, I mean, Sony's just looking for multiple pathways for revenue right now, which is every company's responsibility. Because you can't just focus on one. And who's to say that the movie income won't translate to more video game resources too? You know, the money they make off of Spider-Man or the money they make off of Uncharted could go into a portion of the next Ratchet and Clank game. You have to diversify your income to be successful.
You need to diversify your bonds, nigga.
I will say that that last point you brought up, Jordan, is actually a really good point, because it could be something where, instead of having a AAA movie tie-in with a game, they could just do a mobile tie-in. And that market is out there, so that's an easier...
And they have quicker turnaround on games.
Yeah, yeah, and that's something that a lot of people can just be like, oh, it's on the iPhone, I'll just download this and play this little swinging Spider-Man game. Oh, that's fine.
While the trailers are going.
Yeah. Next up, this comes from Kotaku. Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart developers say it was created without crunch. Let's give them their roses. That's amazing. Good job, guys. Excellent. Good job. Excellent. Look how big my hands are. Good job.
giraffe hands. Go ahead.
Number four. This comes from Pure Xbox. It sounds like Judgment might be coming to Xbox Game Pass, and I know
Jordan. Let us know how it is, Jordan.
Just bathe me in all of the Yakuza content, all of it. I don't care. I don't care if it's me playing a fucking train conductor in that universe. Give it. Bring it here. But yeah, this should be fun. And actually, the Judgment series, so there's another one coming out this fall, a sequel. Yeah, but the Judgment series goes back, DJ and everyone. Mm-hmm. It goes back to the original, you know, brawling, not the, you know.
Final
I thought about getting it.
Yeah. I believe developers of Yakuza, I don't remember who.
Yeah, this is Yakuza developers are the ones who made Judgment.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what I'm saying is that they said that Judgment is going to have the brawling system, and going forward, the next Yakuza is going to be the turn-based stuff.
Correct.
Yeah. So they're splitting out the two gameplay styles. Mm-hmm. Number five, this is also from Pure Xbox. PSA, public service announcement. Everyone who is still playing Marvel's Avengers,
hide your kids, hide your wife.
The latest patch is showing your player's IP address. So basically, don't play the patch on stream because it will show it off jump. And
they out here backtracing y'all. Consequences will never be the same.
Yep. So don't do that. Don't do that. Or you can just not play the game. You know, whatever. Play the game. If you have fun, the game, play the game. Number six.
I mean, here's the thing. This only applies to people streaming the game. And as of an hour ago, only 200 people were streaming Marvel's Avengers. So we're fine.
yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Number six. This comes from Tech Radar. PS5 owners can now buy another PS5 thanks to Sony. So
yeah, I got that email.
Yeah,
and you capitalized on it. You didn't like say.
Yeah, I helped a listener.
Okay.
Secure a PS5.
Ooh, look at Sean helping out the viewers or the fans. So
listen to us more. Sean might, you know, be a little summertime Santa Claus and give a PS5. Summertime Santa Claus.
I like that. As Sean kind of alluded to, Sony is essentially sending out PlayStation Direct emails to people who already have a PS5 so they can get another PS5.
So it was odd though, because I still had to wait in the queue, but it was only like 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, from what I can tell, when they sent you that email, they already gave you a queue time. Like, they already put you in a queue. So all you literally had to do was show up and they would give it to you.
While they were still in stock, that is.
Yeah.
So you still had to...
Well, theoretically speaking, they only
put... One was reserved for you, kind of.
Yeah, they sent out as many as they had reserved.
But I think everybody could join the queue still.
Well, yeah, they could show you... Well, yeah, I think after a certain amount of time.
Yeah, okay, I get you.
Like, if you didn't capitalize on this, we're just going to put that one that we reserved for you out back into the wild.
You know what?
Just like Pokemon, a wild PlayStation appeared.
Oh, it's shiny. Again, I just checked my email and I didn't get a thing, so... PlayStation.
That's because they don't fucking like you. Matter of fact, turn your shit back in. I helped you get yours too. Turn your shit back in. They know you're disloyal.
Xbox also had its pilot, PlayStation Direct-esque program on its side, which is also isn't going well, in terms of notifying people. And yeah, the rollout of these consoles has been difficult compared to most generations. And fucked up.
Number seven. This comes from Polygon. Windows 11 PC gaming features Xbox Game Pass, Auto HDR, and more. So, there is this big thing. Windows 11 is going to come out in the fall. And it's been announced that it will come bundled with the Xbox app, which will have Xbox Game Pass and Xbox Cloud Gaming on it. That's...
Windows Vista all over again. just you wait. Just you fucking wait.
Can I put Windows Vista on this?
Oh, I think that part of the announcement seems to be par for the course of what Xbox was doing. Like, that didn't surprise me. What did surprise me about this Windows 11 thing was the fact that they were integrating the Android App Store into the OS.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that was interesting.
Which pretty much means that, like, if my understanding is correct, any app you can get for your phone, you can fundamentally have working on your PC. So, like, I have certain apps that are on my Apple phone that I know I can get on my I get on the Android phone. One of the dumb cool things I did to make myself feel better about my depression was I got these cool lights I can manipulate, right? And I use an app on my phone. But like, I'm always at my computer, so it's actually more convenient if that control system is on my computer. But they don't make those apps for your PC.
I mean, you could always run BlueStacks to some Android, you know, emulator or whatever.
I don't want to. Here's the thing: I don't want to do crazy shit with my computer. I just want shit that will work without me having to do anything. And if I can open up the Android App Store, download the same app that I use on my phone, and control shit from there, I'm happy. That's all I want. Like, that's the coolest thing I think about this. That, and it's going to be free. So I fundamentally, as a PC Windows 10 user, don't have to upgrade. I mean, don't have to pay for it.
Pay for the upgrade, yeah. Yeah, this is really big, I think.
Wait. Windows 11 is going to be free?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you have Windows 10, it's a free upgrade.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But Sean, that doesn't mean steal Windows 10 right now. Make sure to buy your shit, please.
Jordan, you say steal. Jean says liberate.
No.
It's the questions that Sean asks.
Liberate is the words of the oppressor. What he's doing is theft.
Sean is a socialist to a point.
These are my reparations.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of reparations, but not really. Number 8, this comes from...
What the fuck? Reparations!
This comes from Push Square. Insomniac Games is now hiring for PS5 multiplayer project. So this is kind of a big thing. So people have been speculating about what this could mean. On our show notes, I put Sunset Overdrive revamping.
I assume it's going to be a Fuse 2.
Oh, no.
I will vomit nothing but Mountain Dew Livewire if it is Fuse 2.
I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
It's not. It's really bad for your esophagus. It's not.
Fuse 2 tried. I'll give it that.
Yeah, so...
The Fuse, you know, series tried.
Yeah, they tried. They tried and they failed, and may they never come back. I still remember that.
Was that the one
with
the No. I'm thinking of Haze. Never mind.
Fuse is a game that came out with this really amazing Overwatch-like trailer, and then when the game came out, it looked like every generic shooter of all time.
Yep.
Because apparently during the development, I from what I can remember, someone at EA was like, "We can't sell this game the way it looks." So Insomniac went and was like, "All right," so we changed it to what they wanted, and the game looked garbage.
Yes. All that is true.
And then it looked garbage, and it just played generically.
So, Insomniac Games, when you think Insomniac, we have Ratchet & Clank, like we talked before a lot. We have Spider-Man, and we do have, you know, Sunset Overdrive as well.
What are you talking about?
Just their games they've made. Because
I think Ratchet & Clank Deadlocked, or one of the shits, was multiplayer.
They had Ratchet & Clank All for One.
All for One. You're right.
That was on PS2?
No, it was on PS3.
Yeah.
They had a PS2 version that was multiplayer, I think.
Probably Deadlocked, but that was probably like a dumb arena shooter thing for like two people. All for One was like
that had a regular story. You could just play.
No, what I mean to say, the multiplayer was a like dumb like arena mode add on to it. Well, like All for One was, we built this as a multiplayer game.
I guess.
Yeah, this is interesting. I hope this isn't a Ratchet and Clank thing. I hope this is what they're going to do with Sunset Overdrive, because I feel like that game is kind of sitting pretty, and you know they need to do something with it, and it would be a nice flower in PlayStation's bouquet.
Sunset Overdrive had a multiplayer like destruction mode, to which it was a co-op horde mode type experience. So it's not like Insomniac is unfamiliar with like a multiplayer, you know, focused portion of a single player game.
Yeah.
But it was co-op though. I mean, you're only competing by getting the most points, most money, most resources, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't like a competitive multiplayer. It's still a co-op multiplayer.
Gotcha. Sunset Overdrive just needs to be the new Jet Set Radio. That's all.
We'll see.
That's all.
To clarify, I believe Ratchet and Clank Up Your Arsenal and I believe, yeah, they had competitive multiplayer modes.
Okay.
Deadlocked was actually co-op. You just took control of the robots that followed them around.
Mm. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, so you actually played through the whole game, but go ahead.
Number 9. This comes from Give Me Sport. That is a weird thing to say to someone. Anyways, leak suggests new Dead Space game reveal at EA Play. EA Play is actually happening.
Yes! Give it here.
I'll fucking believe it when I see it.
So, when EA Play is happening in July, I believe, right?
Yeah, yeah. I want to say the 11th, but don't quote me on that.
July 22nd.
Cool. That was 11 days off.
So yeah, this is good news for those who love Dead Space. I will be watching this from social distancing, and you guys,
you know, I mean, we just gotta give Dead Space credit, because when it came out, Japanese horror games Japanese developers were dominating the horror game space.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
Dead Space was kind of like one of the first first Western ones. Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to say the first, but like
Dead Space was the only answer to Resident Evil from the West.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It was great, and well, until they started, you know, getting less horror-y and more actiony.
Like, well, I think I'm in the minority in that I think Dead Space 2 is an infinitely better game than Dead Space 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That being said, Dead Space 3 carries on that energy the same way that Resident Evil 5 carried on the energy of 4 in the wrong direction.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I like 3, but there's so many elements to 3 that just make it, that sort of remove the intrinsic horror of that game.
Mm-hmm.
And it ultimately just
jump scares.
Yeah, and 3 it plays out like just a solid action game that happens to have horror elements.
Yeah. Hmm. No. Like, The first two Dead Spaces, like, those developers are demented in terms of what scenarios they put you in. Like, I mean, it was just fucked up shit.
Body yes, horror. It was.
If you didn't kill it, it isn't dead.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw the trailer to that, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm sure someone will enjoy this. Not me. Last up for the quick hits, we have a special one. This comes from PSU. I'm going to say, like, PlayStation Universe or PlayStation University or PlayStation Unit or... Anyways.
If it's a British outlet, then maybe it's Unit.
Well, I'm typing in PSU. I get Penn State University. So
Penn State University.
There you go.
Ghost of Tsushima is reported
from that.
Ghost of Tsushima is reportedly getting a standalone expansion named Ghost of Ikishima, which is pretty cool. Ikishima is another island of Japan.
You watch way too much fucking anime to be pronouncing it like that.
Oh.
It's more than likely Ikishima. You goddamn gaijin.
What did I say?
Ikishima. You pronounced the second I.
Ikishima.
You said Iki.
Oh. Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. My bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways... Ikishima. Sorry,
no. I got 2.5 years of Japanese. I mean, let's sign off these. Okay, so first we're going to use the Japanese letter for I, the first one, so it would be...
Stop it, Avery. Get out of here. DJ, go ahead.
So this is interesting. So this is not, of course, it's not confirmed. This is really interesting for me because I love Ghost of Tsushima. There was a tweet that was put out about this essentially, and people were just like, what? Wait a minute, what is this thing that's happening? Again, it's all speculations. We don't know. I think it is kind of interesting that we have this announcement that's kind of leaking. And then if we just rewind a little bit in our quick hits, the last thing that Jim Ryan said was that we'll have something to show soon when you talk about the mobile stuff. Jim Ryan, he teased. So it kind of feels like, and we're going to talk about this more in our heavy hitter. But it kind of feels like there might be something for us that they're going to show us soonish.
Bruh.
Overall, Ghost of Ikishima is cool. It's a cool sounding thing. I don't know. We don't really got much to go off of from this. Of course, this doesn't seem like it's going to be a Jin story. It's probably going to be a new person that's going to become a ghost.
I mean, like, there's not that much they would have to do if this is a standalone expansion using the same assets and game engine.
Depends.
Well, it depends, because, like, if Ikishima is a completely different Japanese island, then they can't actually use the map from Ghost 1.
Yeah, right. There actually is another island near Tsushima called Iki.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure the environment's going to be different. I'm talking about the game engine itself. Like, I imagine Sucker Punch is fairly familiar with it. And also using some of the same, you know, combat features too.
Yeah.
It was a great game, and like there's not really, you know, that much incentive to go too beyond the current tracks right now.
I think
for a standalone expansion.
Well, it depends on what type of standalone expansion it is. Is it a Miles Morales where they were able to iterate on gameplay because they didn't really have to iterate on design? Mm-hmm. Or is this a what's it called? The Uncharted one.
Lost Legacy.
Oh, Lost Legacy.
Where it's they didn't have to iterate on gameplay because they iterated on world in design. That makes sense.
Or I was gonna say like a GTA, Lost in the Damned and the Ballad of Gay Tony.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like if this article said sequel to Ghost of Tsushima, then I'd be like, okay, now they're going to, you know, have various improvements to the game engine, incorporate new combat aspects. When I hear standalone expansion, I just think something more, you know,
Doom Eternal. What's that standalone shit they just came out with?
Oh yeah, though that's just basically DLC. You know, yeah.
I like with Avery bringing up the whole Spider-Man Miles Morales thing. I'm getting the same vibes of that because I think that makes the most sense for them because this would be a way of them to get Ghost on PS5. But also not have to worry about spinning up for a full game. So I would imagine, you know, this could possibly be like, you know, 10 to 12 hours or something like that.
You can still have a great experience of a standalone expansion versus a sequel. I mean, it's fine.
And then all they would have to do is just be a thing of maybe introduce like one or two new features to the gameplay loop. And then kind of just, you know, changing or revamping the older weapons that they might have wanted to do, but they just didn't have the time for Ghost of Tsushima. So yeah, it's cool. There's a lot of potential to this. It could be something that is put out this fall.
Yes.
To just in case if Horizon doesn't make it, because we don't know.
Keep the engagement.
Yeah. So with that being said, it is time for us to jump to the heavy hitters. DJ, take it away. Thanks, DJ. All right. This comes from Game Rant. So, PlayStation Experience may be making a comeback in 2021. So, what happened here was someone noticed that the trademark put out for PlayStation Experience. We haven't had a PlayStation Experience in years now? A
couple of years now.
Since 2007.
We went to the last one.
Yeah.
Since 2017.
17, okay.
Well, actually, there's two different PlayStation Experiences. There's the ones they do for their actual E3 conference, which is just them doing theaters. And there's the actual, like, main event that they usually hold in LA, which is, like, a actual, like, Comic-Con, like, event for PlayStation.
So that one was the last time we had a... As the article is stating, the last time there was a PlayStation Experience was in 2017.
Okay.
The 2018 one was canceled.
Right. Yeah, so this is interesting because there's been a lot of rumors of, you know, PlayStation's possible next state of play. But if it is a thing where they are planning to do something bigger, then bringing back PlayStation Experience kind of makes sense. I think the thing that everyone is wondering about, at least I'm wondering about, is PlayStation Experience was a in-person event, whereas State of Play was a digital showcase of some sort. So is this a thing where they're going to bring PlayStation Experience back and possibly mesh it with State of Play? Or are they just going to be like, fuck it, we're bringing people. You're going to be able to talk to each other as long as you're vaccinated. Like,
Vaccinations are a big, weird issue because from what I can hear about, I think it's PAX. Like, no one, you're not required to be vaccinated for PAX.
Yeah, it's an honor system, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's...
I don't trust people enough for that.
Exactly, that's the thing. Like, it's... And also, it depends on when this PlayStation Experience is actually going to happen because I believe, generally, it was, like, in the fall, right? around December time
or November. Traditionally, December? It's around Game Awards. So it's like Awards is like the last thing in December. PlayStation Experience is usually right behind it.
Right.
So like you'll get a big reveal at Game Awards and then they'll talk about it at PlayStation Experience.
Right. And that's actually what I was going to bring up was the Game Awards. But I although PlayStation hasn't announced anything, you know, I just want to believe that they are doing something because, you know, during E3.
What are you talking about?
Huh?
I think PlayStation is hard at work right now with many many games outside of God of War, outside of Horizon Zero Dawn that we just not have heard of yet.
Yeah.
And based on what we're reading, the PlayStation Experience is the perfect format, big format, to announce these new IPs. Because you have, like, the Red Planet one that, you know, like, the little teaser that came out for that. I mean, of course.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know the size of that game. We don't understand the size of that.
You mean IP. With the wind whipping around, right? Yeah.
So, if there's any assumption that Sony does not have games within the next 3 years outside of the ones we know about, is false.
Right.
I'd imagine at least three outside of the ones we know that are about to come out that's going to be delivered over the next few quarters.
It's interesting because there are two schools of thought in regards to us getting a PlayStation Experience and it being their only conference this year, or a showcase, if you will, is that PlayStation has had a banger first half of the year. Like, like they don't necessarily, as much as the latter half with the holidays is the most lucrative time of the year, they don't necessarily have to throw out a banger at the end of the year. That being said, outside of Kena and we know Deathloop, they don't have...
I'm still on the fence of that one.
And the in the air horizon, we don't really know what their end of the year is going to be, like we know with Nintendo and what we know with Microsoft. Yeah. There's two arguments. There is that if they have nothing for the end of the year, like if what we know now is what they're going to have, then they don't need to do a conference anytime soon, because the other rumor we were hearing was that we were going to get a conference maybe in July.
Yeah.
However, if they do actually have a PlayStation Experience, it would probably be showing off what their next year is and what's going forward, because Jordan's right. PlayStation is an interesting place where they showed off their hand a long time ago and then just kept talking about other stuff that they were doing at the same time. So, like, they have a lot of eggs in the basket that we don't know about, a lot of eggs in the basket that we do know about that we'd like to know more about.
Right.
Like, one of the problems that the Square Enix conference had is that most of their big titles that we were actually interested in hearing about were being shown off exclusively at PlayStation.
Exactly.
So they couldn't show them off. So it's a very interesting thing in that, personally, I could go either or on this. Like, I'd love to have a big PlayStation Experience thing at the very end of the year where it's like, let's kick off the year. Let's show everyone what we're going to be doing for the next year and going forward. Mm-hmm. Or I would love to see here's a smaller
state of play every couple months.
Just going to show off our next couple months and just like maybe like one big tease. You could go either way. And I think the PlayStation audience would be fine, especially if we're looking at this in the vacuum of let's not bring in Microsoft into this conversation.
Yeah. So here's I'm just spitballing. My mind is just going and I took off a different path and now I'm on a bike. What if they do both, right? So what if they do the state of play for, we'll say July, like mid July, right? And that state of play is for Kena: Bridge of Spirits. And then they have the bigger showcase at the end of the year, or not even the end of the year, like we'll say, because I feel like they should probably give the Game Awards some space, just because, you know, like that's starting to get bigger and bigger, and like back when they were doing it, Game Awards was kind of, you know, pushing to have the December space, so maybe they respect that and they do, like, you know, November sometime, let's say before Black Friday.
In regards to that, one of the reasons those two, like, Game Awards is going to be an in-person event.
Yeah.
And one of the key things of why the Game Awards, the PlayStation Experience, worked so well was that all these people who came down for Game Awards immediately went down to the PlayStation Experience and got to see all that stuff there. So they worked in tandem.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
And in regard to the Kenna thing, what type of state of play are we talking about? Because they have two state of plays. They have the here's a deep dive in the game, which I'm pretty sure we're just going to get those every once in a while, especially when I have content, like probably a month before content they have coming out, just to show things off. And then there's what they originally started off as and what we got a lot during the PlayStation 5 hype cycle, which like, here's a showcase of a bunch of our games. Because that is the question that we need to get answered.
Yeah.
Does PlayStation have a fall lineup beyond what we know? Or is this what we have? We're going to be happy with it because we had a banger front of the year, and we're just going to let our third-party partners eat up that oxygen and let Xbox put their cards on the table with what they have.
And then we'll come back with bigger.
Because that's the other aspect of this state of play thing that we're talking about is that I've been talking about it in the vacuum of not talking about anything that Microsoft has done, but we now know what Microsoft has. And we now know their fall.
Right.
And Sony essentially let them have June and pretty much E3 to eat the oxygen in the air.
Yeah.
Get rid of the gaming space. Does Sony respond to that with something in July? Or do they just wait and do something, a banger there? Because, like, this is just me, like, train of thought, just thinking about this. Another big part of Microsoft's last conference was, hey, we also have stuff for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Here are our drip feed for next year. So, like, the arms race between these two companies is going to get even exponentially more, like, heated up based on what type of press conference we get from PlayStation for the rest of the year.
Yeah, so I feel like when it comes to the state of play, I am thinking a combination of the two that you mentioned in terms of, hey, these are our games that we have, you know, happening. Maybe we get, like, another trailer from Forspoken. Maybe we get an extended trailer from Final Fantasy 16. We get a little bit of something from Deathloop.
Probably we get anything from Deathloop because we've seen a lot of that game at this point.
Sure. I mean, they could always just regurgitate something that
we've seen. Literally had three trailers explaining how that game works.
This is true.
And they've shown a lot of how this game works.
But basically, like, you know, we get like maybe about a solid 10 minutes of trailers from different games. And then the last 10, 15 minutes is a deep dive in Canterbury Spirits because we got a pretty... I wouldn't say substantial. We got like a 5 or 6 minute trailer last time from Kenna, but it wasn't necessarily like a deep dive. Like, actually, no, they did talk about the black.
Are you talking about are you talking about the Tribeca showcase for Kenna, or are you talking about the original?
Yes, I'm talking about the Tribeca thing. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, but like we could have like a PlayStation branded like deep dive of that game just to like really educate the gamers about what this game is and why you need to buy it, essentially. And then they can say, like, you know, we'll have new announcements of, like, upcoming games, whatever, later in the year. And then that could be the PS experience where there you have the Ghost of Tsushima thing that could be, like, I guess it depends on when the PS experience happens. Because it can be, like, it's out now or it's out in December or something.
In regards to Kenna, I don't think you put Kenna as the one more thing at the end of a state of play.
That's not a showstopper, unfortunately.
Just to clarify, I'm not saying that it is the one more thing. I'm saying that they say we're having a state of play with a extended gameplay thing of Kenna Bridge of Spirits at the end. So like you tell the viewers, hey, this is what to expect. Like there might be something new in the trailer section, but it is going to end with them talking about Kenna and like how that game works. Yeah.
Ultimately, because the only thing that fucked up the PlayStation Experience is why they had to stop doing them is because they had E3, then they had Paris Games Week, then they had Gamescom, then they had a Tokyo Game Show, and then they had their own PlayStation Experience. Yeah. So much stuff was being stretched. Now they're quote unquote not doing E3 anymore. We're not exactly sure if that's a thing that they're going to continue doing. I'm not sure what was going on with Paris Games Week. They're definitely going to do something for Tokyo Game Show. What Gamescom is up in the air. So it's another thing where, like, do we get like that one Gamescom conference that Microsoft did where they just literally show their E3 conference again? Or are we getting something where they're trying to like meter out their content. Because, like, as great as the PlayStation experience was, it wasn't as big of a showcase of their games as we all think they are. It was like, here's a bunch of small games, here's a bunch of PlayStation people talking about PlayStation ecosystem, and here's a big, like, at least one thing to make this worth it as a showcase.
That's true. Yeah, I think, you know, of course, we are speculating on all of this because we really don't know what's up Sony's hat. We'll go with hat. So, you know, maybe by the time this actually goes live, they put out a little blog post, you know, stating their intentions of what they're going to do for the rest of the year. Maybe, maybe not. We'll never know. Or we will know. It's kind of hard to know.
Right? Alrighty.
Anyways, this has been another episode of Press Star Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the episode as much as we enjoy making it. Don't forget to rate and review some of your favorite podcasting apps. And also, don't forget to like, subscribe, share, and comment on our YouTube channel. Of course, it's pressxnumber2start.com/YouTube to get there. And to just to see our stuff on our website, it's pressxnumber2start.com. Until next time, well, no, because the Ratchet & Clank stuff will come out before this episode. So next time is up in the air. We
don't dictate how Marcus edits.
This is true.
We're not paying him. Marcus, do whatever you gotta do.
Just get it done. All right, guys. See you later.
All right, goodbye, everyone.
All right, y'alls.